Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back, and we want to thank again Adam Creedon for coming in and talking about the special event taking place in Brockton this Saturday at DW Fields Park. And again, if you have, you want to get involved with something, always get involved. We try to make sure we have events. It's www.markcreedonmemorialrace.org. Joining us is a gentleman. We haven't had this gentleman in a while. It's been well overdue. We have Jeff Yelenesian from Brennan Smoke Shops. He's the guy who has the creative public service announcements that he shares with our listening audience about things, all things that are going on, whether it's the potholes or the taxes. He's a guy who is worth having in for half an hour and talking with, and he has brought with him a gentleman who I believe he was... Are you sheriff in Worcester County?
I was. Don't hold it against me,
no,
Kevin.
No, I won't. And as I teased a little bit, the guy who ran for it, was it auditor?
State auditor in 2010.
That's right.
Good memory.
That's right. And so you now are doing a little work at the State House. You and Mr. Yelenesian here are teaming up to do something. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, Jeffrey? First and foremost, Jeffrey, what's the latest? How's everything with you and the family?
Oh, it's great. I'm a new dad again with my second baby.
Second time over, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So life's really good for me right now. I don't want to get into how me and Guy got hooked up, but
the bottom line
is we're hooked up. And I like to call Guy Brennan Smoke Shop's customers lobbyist, because what we're doing up at the State House is really not for my business, not for the tobacco business, but for the tobacco consumers here in Massachusetts that are still buying the tobacco products. And there's a bunch of issues, and the first really major issue for me in this business and helping my consumers here in the state is the state sales tax on tobacco products. That's our first chunk that we're trying to take out of this thing. There's a bunch of issues. We're focusing on that, and we're really laying the groundwork up at the State House.
What are some of the key ones that I'm sure you're built that in order to be successful, you're working on the foundation before you work your way up? What are some of the foundation issues that you guys are working on right now?
The sales tax. That's our foundation. And then we'd like
just the general sales tax?
The sales tax on tobacco products.
Okay.
You talk about
just want to make sure.
Not the you have two taxes. You have the excise tax, mm-hmm. you have three taxes. The federal excise tax, the state excise tax, which is actually applied to the federal tax,
yep.
and then when it comes to the counter, the sales, the 6.25%, and the 6.25% is actually a tax on a state tax. It's a tax on a federal tax, but as I told you, the state excise tax is above and beyond the federal tax, so it's also a tax that's a tax on a tax already. And anybody that's been through American history class here in the U.S. knows that the Revolutionary War started over this type of taxation.
But only it was tea, not tobacco.
It was actually, other stuff was actually started with molasses.
Really?
Taxing the molasses, but they didn't want to throw, same thing as like tobacco, they didn't want to throw the molasses away because they use it to make rum, so they went after the tea.
Heaven forbid.
They were tariffing.
Don't touch my molasses.
Anything that came over, they were tariffing, but it was really the molasses tax that's what it's used to make rum.
Joe, did you want to chime in?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just got back from a trip down to New Orleans, and while a lot of things go in New Orleans,
one of the taxes down there,
yeah, they do. No, though one of the things that I actually has been a gripe of mine in this area for a while that has to do with tobacco is I'm a big cigar guy. Love my cigars. And you cannot.
Do you get your cigars from Jeffrey? From
actually,
from
I do. Okay. I do right down the street here.
Okay.
And when I'm up here, and one of the issues that if you're not tackling it already, I think definitely should be on your radar is allowing smoke shops to or allowing businesses to have areas that you can smoke inside. Still, you know, one of the problems that we have in Massachusetts anyways, is that even if you want to open a designated cigar bar where you serve alcohol and tobacco, you can't smoke inside, and there's some percentage.
What about like a hookah bar? Can you?
Well, that's not smoke.
But they don't have, like Lux down in Plymouth, I don't believe they serve. It's just hookah.
That's right. Yes.
That's where it gets dicey.
Yeah. So that's
continue,
just,
please.
Well, that's just what, that's just, you know, I, that's, it's kind of been one of, you those know, things
Joe,
for me.
Joe, because we're actually going in the opposite direction. Most recently down in Wareham, they banned outdoor patio smoking.
Really?
Yeah, I think in Plymouth as well. So not even anymore, you know, Boston. You know, he's talking about Boston. Let's just talk about it real quick and how they banned smoking in parks.
Yes.
And how I was just at the State House with Guy just this last week. And from the parking garage up all the way up to the steps of the State House, I was smoking the whole way up. You know, I just think it's funny we passed these laws, and there's a lot of laws on the books that are.
And Kevin, let me just say, you know, first I want to really commend Jeff Yalianese and Brendan Smoke Shop for fighting the good fight. This is not, as you can imagine, a popular issue, but it's a just issue. If you look at the tobacco industry, if you look at smoke shops, they've been decimated. And one of the reasons is Jeff said, it's a tax upon a tax upon a tax. So a mom and pop type of tobacco store just can't compete financially. So what happens? Companies move to New Hampshire. They move to Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. Rhode Island, for instance, as Joe talked about, he's a cigar connoisseur. There's a 50-cent flat tax. So it's a lot cheaper for people to go to Rhode Island and New Hampshire to buy tobacco products. And who does it hurt? It hurts, number one, the mom and pop stores like Brennan's Smoke Shop. But it also hurts consumers. It hurts the revenue in Massachusetts because they're losing revenue to other states. And Jeff made a great point at the State House last week. We were talking. He goes, you know, a similar analogy is, why do we have casinos?
Or why are we trying to get casinos in Massachusetts?
And it's because we're losing revenue to states like Connecticut and Rhode Island. Right. It's really the same argument with tobacco, where they're taxing and taxing. People won't buy here in Massachusetts. Stores close. Jobs leave the state. And the revenue goes to other states. And Jeff has the political fortitude to go up there and talk about it. And I commend him. It's not an easy issue. But he's doing the right thing up there. And he's making some headway.
We met with two reps from the Lowell area last week, and if you can find a place anywhere along the border of Massachusetts and New Hampshire on this side of the border selling tobacco, you probably get a gold medal for the day, because there just isn't any tobacco for sale above north of the city of Boston. There is in convenience stores, but you know they're probably barely selling what they have.
Do they just feel
stock.
It's futile to attempt such a venture?
No, you know what? I talk about this all the time, Kevin. The misconception is in my business is that, and we get together nationally once a year, and we all say, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. They're putting us out of business. They're killing us. And that's the misconception, that these representatives and senators are passing this to really hurt us. And the real truth of the matter is, there hasn't been anybody up at the State House representing the mom and pop tobacco shops and speaking out against this stuff, because the real fact of the matter is, they have absolutely no idea what a 10% tax increase on they think it's just 10% increase. That's marginal. We could go to 90% like California. Well, 10% on the cost of the product really comes down to 30% on the retail level.
It's the lazy tax. Is it a lazy way to tax, where, you know what, when you're looking to generate revenue?
It's not lazy, it's easy.
But what I'm saying,
I'll take it a step further. I think it's a discriminatory tax. I mean, you're targeting one part of the population over and over and over. I mean, people rejected the gasoline tax. They reject other taxes, but they're always picking on one segment.
The people have never even had the opportunity to decide whether or not the tobacco gets taxed the way that they're taxing it.
Can I throw this up? I'm going to play devil's advocate, if I may.
Do you mind? Absolutely.
No, okay. Not at all.
I was going to have Joe do it, but he's kind of... no, I'm kidding. But I think the first thing people will say is, it's a dirty habit. Why not tax it? Have you heard people say... you ever heard anybody say that?
You ever hear me talk about my mother getting struck head-on by a drunk driver?
I have.
I mean, that's a really disgusting habit. You know, you can come into my store, you spend $10 on tobacco. Go home, smoke your brains out, okay? Go into a liquor store, spend $10, change your life, not only your life, but the person that you hit's life forever,
right?
Infinitely forever. My mom's walking with a limp. Her foot came right off her body. Like, that's disgusting. Oh. So why proponently, you know, the sale, the tax on tobacco is much greater than alcohol. I mean, alcohol tax is a lot, but it's percentage-wise not even close, not even the same ballpark as tobacco.
And the other issue, Kevin, is how do you legislate morality? What's right for who? I mean, some people could be offended that somebody can go eat a dozen cupcakes and Twinkies, and they're offended by that because they're overweight. I might be a perfect example. Alcohol.
I think I might be a perfect example.
Or scratch tickets. Here's people on low income that continually buy scratch tickets. I'm offended by that. Where do you draw the line?
Sure.
Kevin, a couple weeks ago, it was National Compulsive Gambling Awareness Day, and I got a printout on my lottery machine. Hey, if you or anybody you know is addicted to gambling, here, call this number, 1-800 whatever it was, or you know. So it's kind of funny. It's like you can't. Nobody's.
Jeff makes the point. It's about freedom. Mm. We live in America because we want freedom of choice, freedom of press, freedom of religion. If people want it, like Joe, want to enjoy a cigar over the NCAA March Madness basketball, that's his right, and there shouldn't be a discriminatory tax and a tax upon a tax upon a tax. Where do you draw the line?
Jeff, are you doing this? Is this your own undertaking, or have you thought as far as having somebody up there as a lobbyist, or have you thought of doing something? I'm going to throw a name out there. You ever heard of the Restaurant and Business Alliance?
No,
you've never heard of that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Do you know who runs the Restaurant and Business
Alliance? They didn't do a good job waging the fight on the smoking in restaurants.
But there are other things that they wage a battle on. But what I'm thinking is what they are is they're an organization that fights for restaurants and restaurants and businesses. Maybe you could be a groundbreaker.
So
by getting together with other spoke shops,
we start in this, it's very involved. We have been trying when the city of Boston was trying to ban the cigar bars. All the cigar bars in Boston got together. They wanted to start a nonprofit. We started the nonprofit. Brennan's was at the forefront of that. We helped them. We all got together. We started this nonprofit. It was Mass Tobacco Retailers Association.
Oh, very nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The cigar bars in Boston got their 10-year contract to stay in business. The rationale was that they were going to be in business for the next 10 years, and in 5 years it was going to be up for renegotiation, and they were never going to actually throw them out of Boston. Okay. The nonprofit sat dormant for years. Another retailer down in Fall River wanted to get it going again. He tried to get it going again. It had been vacant for so long that we had to refile the nonprofit. So instead of continuing with the Massachusetts Tobacco Retailers Association, we changed it to Massachusetts Tobacco Merchants Association, and we started a whole another nonprofit. We all got together. I'm telling them that we should go after the sales tax. They would like a tax cap. I'm telling them, hey, listen, I'm for all tobacco consumers. I don't sell just cigars. I sell cigars, cigarettes, rolling tobacco, pipes. I'm for everybody.
Zippo lighters.
I'm for everybody. We should go after the sales tax as well. Well, it was kind of falling on deaf ears. And I think that really because the Massachusetts voters have set a precedent when they repealed the sales tax on alcohol. And as we already talked about, alcohol consumption can be and is an absolute disgusting thing when you see bodies thrown out of cars and
improperly used.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
I'm not going to embellish it, but it's, you know, when abused. Same, you know, I lost my train of thought.
I apologize. It's my fault. Just to remind folks, we are
so the nonprofit kind of, when trying to get the sales tax kind of fell on deaf ears, and we had another meeting like, hey, we're going to get a lobbyist. And we tried to have a cigar cruise last year to help fund the operation to hire the lobbyist. Make a long story short, it's already long. I kind of saw that it wasn't getting moving fast enough. All these retailers, we got to get together once a quarter. We just vote on one simple issue, and then it would be done. Nothing would ever happen. And then some names came up. I gave them fair, you know, time to decide if they were going to pick this lobbyist up or not. Guy and I had talked years prior about possibly doing something. They brought his name up with the nonprofit. They weren't going to be able to get it done. Mm. I called Guy. Said, "Let's give him 4 more weeks." Nothing happened. It got to be close to January. We have to file a bill. I called Guy and took it. I said, Guy, let's do it.
And Kevin, you know, let me just say, Brennan's Smoke Shop's been so successful because that same work ethic. Jeff is a lot like you, and he's a see the hill, take the hill type of guy, and he's not passive. He's passionate about this issue. I think he's on the right side of this issue. But the most important thing is he's taking the time to educate lawmakers as to how detrimental some of these taxes can be, and in some cases, how discriminatory they can be. And as he says, he's not doing it for his own profit, he's doing it for his customers that come in all the time and complain that there's a new tax every time they turn around, it's falling on deaf ears. And Jeff is taking it personal, and he's leading the charge, and I commend him for that on whatever side of the issue you are. Get involved, make a difference.
Kev, I'm not going to be... I'm on the Jantex right now as we speak. I'm a pack-a-day guy. I'm done. I've had seven today, okay? I want to quit. I'm going to quit. I have two babies. I have a 15-month-old and a 5-week-old now. I think it's grossly selfish for me to continue smoking that because that could take me away from the most important years of my life and getting my daughters married and up on their own, and I'm going to quit. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to continue to fight this issue. I'm gonna fight because I just think it's... I feel like I'm a patriot. I'm a Minuteman. I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up on the South Shore. We have this heritage. My middle name is Paul, and it isn't for Paul Revere and the writers. It's Paul Revere, the last ride of Paul Revere. That's my middle name, right. Jeff Paul. All right, so I'm not going to stop with this, and I just think it's just unfair.
Jeff's a fighter by nature, as you know. His background was in boxing, and he's fighting.
I've seen the pictures.
And he's fighting again for a cause that he believes seriously in. And he hears it from his customers where he has to defend all the time these taxes, and it's not
that's
right.
I'm sorry, I lost my train. That's where the customers. You can go to New Hampshire and pay a lot less for your cigarettes or your cigars, a lot less. And today, because Rhode Island rolled their, I think they were 30%, now they're 50 cents. You can go to Rhode Island and buy cigars, all right? I still have mountains of customers that still continue to buy tobacco products here in the state of Massachusetts from me, from I don't even buy all my tobacco from me. I go to my local store down the street. But I believe that I owe it to these people to try and do something. We'll see what happens. And like I said, no rep is ever, no, the House of Representatives is never going to pass any, you know, repeal on any tax for tobacco.
Not easily.
They're not going to do
it. Never say never.
It's not. Well,
never say never.
You're right. We talked about that the other day. You shouldn't say that. But
look at the tank, the gas tax initiative.
We're looking forward to bringing this issue or forcing this issue and putting it on the ballot and making it a vote. You know, and we're really pushing to have it on the ballot in 2016. You know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, but Guy and I talk about that's just the foundation. We would like the same thing that the nonprofit would like. And like I said, I'm spearheading this. I would like the same thing. I would like a flat tax cap on premium cigars, you know, because here's the thing. The state of Massachusetts is going to see such a boom in the cigar business if they... It happened in Rhode Island. They were so high, everybody was mail ordering and getting their cigars mailed to their right. house, right to their door. Well, you cap the tax and you make it appealing to buy them still here in Massachusetts. My customers that I still have and always have had are going to just save money, but everybody else that isn't buying cigars here in Massachusetts are going to, and you're going to have this big boom, and then there's more tax, more cigars flowing through the state, more money.
You'll bring back the customers that you're losing to New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Connecticut if there was a level playing field, and that's what we don't have in Massachusetts.
And again, I just want to remind folks, we've got with Jeff Yelenesian from Brennan Smoke Shop, and we got Guy Glotis, who is a lobbyist now up on Beacon Hill. What's the early things that you're hearing? What are some of the conversations that you've been having up on the State House, and what are you getting for a reaction back from those lawmakers?
You know, the reaction is, and I think Jeff can talk, people have been very open. The lawmakers have been great. We've met with several from Plymouth County, Representative Tommy Calta, who's just an outstanding state rep and very open to both sides of the debate. But most of these reps and senators are willing to listen, and some of them have no idea of the dire consequences that these taxes have on consumers and on businesses. Half of all legislators today, Kevin, have less than 3 years experience. Mm. They're not people that have been in state government for 20, 30 years that are seasoned, experienced veterans. These are a lot of new kids. 50% of the legislature has served less than 3 years. Mm. So it's incumbent upon
people.
Especially
here in the South Shore.
And it's incumbent upon people.
I can name about 5 or 6 people immediately.
Jeff, to come in and educate them about the industry.
I met two young men the other day, and I could not believe it. They looked like they were just out of college. I said, Guy, how old are those? And you said it first. You said these kids. I said, how old are those kids? And you kind of like, they're not kids. They're young men.
Well, a lot of them are in their 20s. But the thing is, they're not experts on any one field. Right. They're not experts on healthcare, education, or public safety, which I do a lot of work on public safety. But they're dependent upon people and community activists like Jeff from Brennan's Smoke Shop to come in and educate them as to the consequences and the alternatives to any tax and any referendum. Mm. And he's doing that, and they've been very grateful and very open. Not everybody always agrees, and in some cases people do agree. But it's up to Jeff and constituents in the electorate to educate lawmakers about their individual industry. Jeff's doing.
At least if nothing else, Sky, when and I'm telling you right now, Charlie said there wouldn't be any more tax increases, but at some point it happens. He said there wouldn't be any more tax increases, but there weren't going to be any tax breaks either. But in my experience in tobacco, it happens every year. They're trying to increase the tobacco tax. Well, at least if I'm up there educating them to what effect it has on me, and more importantly, my customers, well, maybe they when they see a piece of tobacco legislation, they're going to think, well, what about Brennan's Smoke Shop? Maybe we should call them. And I remember years ago, they were going to ban the novelty lighters, and Bob Hedlund's office actually called me, and they go, hey, you know, is this going to affect you? And I thought, geez, that's small government right there. Call the guy that sells the novelty lighters. Mm. And I told him, I said, no, but, you know, those things are just novelties. Nobody really uses them. But the point is that we want to get to that. I want to, like, get to that first name basis with these reps, and so that they think of me when tobacco legislation comes along.
Other than, you know, the taxes, is there anything else that you're looking to inform people about, keep an eye on? We had a conversation down in the lobby before the start of the show, and one of the conversations we had is small communities and their boards of health, what they're doing as far as trying to push the limit of how old someone has to be to smoke, and that it's something that's small town government that's kind of pushing these laws or putting these ordinances up that also can have an effect on somebody who is a taxpayer.
That's a funny thing. I'm going to start the issue, and you can embellish it. The Food and Drug Administration gave towns and communities the ability to pass any bylaws that they thought would help their public health. And it really, what these boards of health are going for is because there's no regulations or no age restrictions on electronic cigarettes. And the Mass Association of Boards of Health comes in with a laundry list of tobacco regulations that they'll pass. And one is this, the ban of all tobacco sales. One's 21 plus. Mm-hmm. One is e-cigarettes 21. And so these Board of Health get wrangled in by this Mass Association of Board of Health, and they just fly off the handle. And instead of just making electronic cigarettes 18 plus, they get wrangled into making their legal age of purchase tobacco products to 21.
Right.
And you've heard our feeling on that.
And one issue is just Representative Kim Ferguson of Holden filed a bill actually pertaining to what happened in Westminster, where three people got together and said, we're going to prohibit the sale of all tobacco in the town. Mm. So she filed a bill saying that it just can't be up to one board, there has to be a dual process, and it has to go to a town meeting, which again is just checks and balances. If somebody doesn't like Jeffrey that's on a board of health, they can just shut down his operation for no legitimate reason as long as they can secure 2 out of 3 votes. So she filed a bill 2 months ago that both Jeff and I are working on, just to have a fair dual process that if you are going to limit tobacco products or age, there has to be a checks and balances, and it has to go to a town meeting and have the entire town weigh in on it.
You, me, and Guy can't get together and go, hey, you know what? I don't like Brennan's Smoke Shop. They're out of business.
Yeah, close them down.
They can't do that.
So there has to be some recourse.
Joe, question?
Do you see this? I know that there's been a few communities that have passed bills like that. Do you see that happening more and more as they're allowed to be given those rights? Oh, or do you see the state kind of coming in and saying, well, no, we want to take control of
that? It started
that.
Specifically with the Food and Drug Administration. They get that. And like I told you, there's a mass association of Board of Health. They actually write the bylaws into the bylaws, okay? So, but she has, it's literally like a shopping list. I'll pass, here and we have, no cigarettes under 21, you know, they have a whole laundry list, and she'll pass anything that, or put up anything that you want off of the list. It's like a shopping list of tobacco regulations, and it's like people, you know, the misconception too, Kevin, is, you know, not only do the reps not have any idea, the people really need to know too, like what's really going on. I mean, this, and we talk about, like, where is all this anti-tobacco stuff coming along? And I get this from the reps, you know, what are you going to say when the Heart and Lung Association comes at you and says you're being counterproductive to the smoking ban? You want minors to be able to smoke? And I say, no, we're not trying to do that at all. We're trying to do what's right for the taxpayers here in the community, you know. Mm-hmm. But I throw it back and I go, so what are you going to say?
Well, tobacco has been around for a lot longer than for many
and
years.
And it's an easy target. Everybody many knows it's not a popular constituency.
That's right. And you know what? I'm also, I'm a former smoker. Good luck to you.
I'm going to quit.
Maybe when your daughter
gets... I'm going to quit and you can quit too.
Maybe when your daughter comes up to you and says, it really bothers you, like my 11-year-old son did back in the day. Yeah. And
I'm
like,
he's got two good
she's
reasons.
All the motivation. Like that. My little Brenna Jean, she's all the motivation.
She was here the other day. She's adorable.
I mean, I can't, I'm not going to get to 65 years old and you know, because that's where I'm an old daddy. I'm going to be 65 and my kids are going to be coming out of high school. So I can't be smoking, dude. It's kind of a bad deal.
Do you have a website or any social media, any way for folks to follow what you and Guy are doing?
Brennan's Smoke Shop.
Well, I put it on Facebook. Anytime I go to the State House, or okay. I just put it up on Facebook.
What if somebody wants to reach out to you and talk to you about this? So
they can contact.
You entertaining conversation?
What, tonight?
No, I'm talking about at any time beyond the show.
I used to take emails, and I get a lot of hate mail, so I stopped getting emails. If people want to talk, they can send us a message on Facebook, and that actually comes directly to me. I administrate our Facebook page. So,
all right.
So Jeff, if you want to talk to me, go to Facebook. Facebook.com/DocGrayCloud.
All right, Jeff Yelenesi and Guy Glotis. We're going to have this conversation again before the year is out to kind of find out what your progress is like. We are going to step aside for a couple of moments, and when we come back, I promise, more Monday Night Talk. Do not go anywhere.